You know, Pastor Shane talked to me on Wednesday and said that he and Tammy were going to be away this morning, so he asked me if I could cover this morning and bring the word this morning. So I thought long and hard about it, and I prayed a lot about what it is that God would have me talk about today. And obviously, we're coming up on the end of 2025, and we're beginning into 2026. Whoop whoop. So wrapping up a year and starting another one. 2025 was a great year for some people, and it was the worst year of our lives for others. You know, so it's we'll get into that here in a little bit of how that even through the hard times or the great times in our lives, God is always there and He's always at the center of what's going on in our lives. So, Heavenly Father, we come before You at the threshold of this new year, Lord. We thank You for bringing us through every season, through joy and through sorrow, through victory and through waiting. As we open Your word today, Lord, open our hearts. Speak hope into a weary, weary heart, Lord, and joy into a heavy-hearted, and faith to those standing at the crossroads, Lord. Let Your truth anchor us as we step forward into what You have prepared for us to receive today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the message title today is going to be A New Year of a Living Hope. So finding true happiness in Christ. So standing at the threshold, there's something sacred about the turning of a new year. We stand with one foot in the past and one foot in the future. Behind us are memories, some precious, some painful. Ahead of us are the unknowns, the dreams, the fears, the not yet answered prayers. Many people enter a new year asking, will this year be better? Will I finally be happy? Sorry, John, I keep bumping it. Will things change in my life? The world promises happiness through circumstances. More money, better health, new relationships, fresh opportunities. But Scripture offers us something deeper than happiness based on circumstances. The Bible offers hope. A living, unshakable hope. And joy that does not depend on what happens to us. Our hope is rooted on God's promise, not on the past. Luke 2:9-10, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of joy, of great joy, which will be to all people. When the angel Gabriel spoke to the shepherds that evening, he was clear that although the message was not what they expected to get that night, it brought good tidings and great joy, which was for all people. Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of the Lord's great love, or through the Lord's. So one thing real quick, a little caveat on this. When I did my studies, I used the NIV Bible. So we're using the New King James up there. So I'll try not to read off of these. I'll try to read off the board here. But if I do read off of here, I apologize. It's the same. It's just different version. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. So His mercies are new every morning. We do not have to fear what He has in store for us in this upcoming year, because we know that through our faith, He will continue to lead us through still waters and show us what He is doing through us. Amen. Do not let past fear distort your perspectives. Fear magnifies problems, and it also minimizes God. We need to seek hard after not letting our fear minimize God. Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from my fears. Notice David did not say, God removed all my problems. Right? He said, he delivered me from fear. So we talked about, you know, joy. We talked about hope. So happiness. So what's the difference between happiness and joy? So biblical happiness. Happiness is usually tied to circumstances. What happens to us? Happiness is closely related to the Hebrew word ashrei, often translated as blessed or happy. Happiness is connected to outcomes, conditions, or obedience that brings visible benefits. Happiness can rise and it can fall as circumstances change. Some of the key characteristics of happiness is it's external, right? It's something that we show. It's temporary, it's reactive, and it's situation dependent. Some examples in scripture, Psalms 144:15 says, blessed are the people who God is the Lord. So here, happiness flows from a favorable condition being aligned with God's provisions and protections. Proverbs 14:13, even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may grieve. This shows happiness can be shallow and fleeting. Some daily examples, everyday examples. Feeling happy is, you know, when we have finances are stable, when family relationships are peaceful, when our health is good, when a prayer is answered the way that we had hoped it would be. When these things shift, happiness often fades. So on the flip side of that is joy. So in the Bible, biblical joy is an internal, a spirit-produced state rooted in God's presence, his promises, and his purposes. They're not circumstances. In the New Testament, they refer to joy as hurrah. It's also described as one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's sustained even in suffering. So joy is, it's unlike happiness, joy is internal. It's enduring. It's chosen and cultivated. And most importantly, it's Christ-centered. Some scriptural examples, James 1:2 talks about, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Notice it does not say trials are happy. Only that joy can coexist with pain. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So joy originates in Christ, not in our outcomes. Okay, and last one is John 16:22. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Okay, notice that Jesus does not say, life will stop hurting, because we're going to have trials in our lives. Jesus does not say that, or what Jesus does say is that joy will not be taken away from you, even in those sorrows. You see, joy is rooted in hope, not in outcomes. The world says, be happy when things are going right. Jesus says, be joyful because I am with you, always. Some everyday examples of joy is joy, or feeling joy, is when life is hard, but God is trusted. When loss is real, but hope is secure. when answers are delayed, but faith remains. Joy says, this hurts, but God is still good. Happiness is often external. Joy is always internal. Happiness reacts where joy remains. So that's kind of the differences between joy and happiness is joy is Christ-centered. It's given to us through our relationship with Christ. Okay, so a living hope for the new year. We all have a living hope for the new year ahead. 1 Peter 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This hope is not wishful thinking. Okay, it's not optimism. It is living. This hope is living because Christ is alive. This makes our hope living. It is secured by the resurrection. Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Right? That is our salvation. That is secured by his resurrection. Our salvation is secured. It is sustained by God's mercy. Lamentations 3:20-23 again. Through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great in your faithfulness. God's mercy is sustained through that. It is stronger than death. It is stronger than failure. It is stronger than even time. You may enter this next year while you're still hurt, still healing. You're still waiting. You're still rebuilding. But you are not entering without hope. We have hope, and it is through the living hope of Jesus Christ. God is already in your tomorrow. That's a good thing. Right? He's already there. He's already out there setting up tomorrow so that we can walk in it. Deuteronomy 31:8 tells us, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. This verse reassures us that God is already ahead of us. He's taking care of the future. And that what we can do is trust in him with all of our tomorrows. Our tomorrows might not be what we expect them to be sometimes. You know, our tomorrows are not always full of happiness. But as long as he's there, there will be joy, knowing that he is there and he is leading us into those tomorrows. Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Okay, God does not ask us to deny the past. He asks us not to live there. Some people carry their past like luggage. We carry our regrets. We carry our guilt. We carry our disappointments. And we carry our fears. But God says, I am doing a new thing. Trust in that faith. And hope grows when we trust God more than we trust our own memories. So trust in the Lord. Trust in that he is there. He is already in your tomorrow. Happiness that comes from trust and not control. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This passage highlights that trying to carry everything ourselves, things that ultimately only God can handle, leads us to weariness. Jesus invites us to give those burdens to him and find rest. You know, I heard an analogy one time. It was talking about, I think I shared it on one of our evening services one time, but we talked about, you know, in the Bible, it refers to us as sheep, right? It refers to us as sheep, and we have our shepherd, Jesus our shepherd, and he's shepherding us to eternity. Well, and as I read through that and I think about those, and there's a lot of us, we think about sheep, and you know, Pastor Shane talks about sheep all the time and how smart and wonderful sheep are. So nobody likes to be called a sheep sometimes, right? Nobody wants to be referred to as a sheep. You know, there's so many other animals out there that inside that maybe we could want to relate ourselves to, you know, whether it be, you know, an eagle soaring through the air, a lion, you know, a bear, you know, for those of us that grew up around here, right, a big elk, a big bull elk, or whatever it might be. But there's other things that we'd want to refer ourselves to, but that's not what God does. That's not what Jesus refers us to. He refers us to the shepherd, or to the as the sheep. And one thing about this that makes a lot of sense is there's a lot of animals out there that are created to carry things, you know, whether it be horse, whether it be, you know, even donkeys, really even goats. We have pack goats. I mean, a lot of animals are designed to carry things on their back. That's the one thing sheep cannot do, is carry things on their back, right? So when they refer to us as sheep, that's because we're not designed to carry those things. We're not designed. We have a shepherd who carries those for us, and so many of us want to carry those on our backs, and that's not what we're designed for. That's not what God created us for, right? But yet we still want to hold on to those because that's our flesh, right? That's our flesh getting in our way sometimes. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Okay, this encourages us to release control and trust God with what we cannot control ourselves, which in turn helps us not to lose our joy. Psalms 37:4-5, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Okay. Let's see, what was that one? Okay, Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So remember, we make plans. We plan, right? We all do. We have plans. I have plans for today already. I'm sure many of us do. We have plans, but God leads those plans. So those plans may not always happen the way that we plan on them happening, which, thank the Lord sometimes, right? Thank the Lord for that. But God leads, and we've got to open our hearts and open ourselves to be led by our Lord. Many lose happiness because they try to control what only God can carry. You know, that's something you have to ask. Is that you? Have you lost your happiness sometimes because you're trying to control what is meant for God to carry? Okay, biblical happiness flows from surrender, not from certainty. Okay, choosing joy daily this next year. So this is, we'll go through a few things here, give you some ideas on how you can help choose daily. Choosing daily joy is definitely a practice. It's not something that we all just naturally do. It's something that we have to practice at every day. It's something that Scripture encourages us to cultivate intentionally. Scriptural principles that can help us. Okay, so we start with gratitude. The Bible often ties joy to thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Okay, when we start each day by noticing and thanking God for his blessings, it naturally shifts our mindsets towards joy, right? When we start off your day, and how many people here, and you don't have to raise your hands necessarily, but how many people here are not morning people? You have that picture on your wall that says, you know, when the coffee's at least this empty before anybody can talk to me, right? That's, at the end of the day, that's a mindset. You know, we tell ourselves that as, man, I'm not a morning person. I've got to have at least 2 cups of coffee before I even want to talk to anybody. Well, that's a mindset. That's something that we have control over, and we can change that inside of us. And that's where kind of this comes into it, right? It's starting with gratitude. If you get up in the morning, and before you even get out of bed, you're already talking to the Lord, you'll be amazed how little coffee you need before people start talking to you. Right? Because it changes everything. It changes your attitude. It changes your gratitude. It changes your joy. And it ties your joy to thankfulness. Focus on God's presence. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Okay, Paul wrote this while he was in prison. Right? Paul wrote this while he was in prison. Joy is not denial of what's going on around us, right? We can be having a tough year. We can be having, you know, a tough time. And I know of a lot of families right here in our body that are having a tough year in 2025 because of loss, because of other things. But I know we've got families here that are having a tough year. And joy is not denying that. It's not denying that we're having that tough year. Joy is an eternal spirit-produced state rooted in God's presence, his promises, and his purposes. That means our joy is in who God is, not just in our circumstances. Taking moments throughout the day to reconnect with God through prayer, a short reading of his word, or just a pause to remember he's with you can anchor our joy. Right? When we feel our joy slipping away because of all the things that are going on in our lives, because of what's going on around us, you've got to center yourself and recenter back with Christ at the center again. And that's not something that happens naturally. That's something that we have to do. It's something we have to pray a lot about, and we've got to be mindful and weary to. Okay, release control and trust in God. You know, I talked about casting all your cares on him earlier. And not carrying all those burdens ourselves. You know, when we let go of trying to control everything, we create space for joy, right? We open it inside of our bodies, inside of our hearts, inside of our minds, for space for joy to come in there. You know, we say it all the time is, you know, what's the best way to minimize sin in our lives, or to minimize, you know, wicked thinking in our minds? It's by filling it with Christ. Right, the more of his word that we have inside of us, inside of our minds going every day, the more we're talking to God throughout the day, nonstop talking to him, the less chance we have of evil rooting in there and taking over and working its way in. Okay, Proverbs 3:5 encourages us to trust the Lord with all of your heart. Right, that's exactly what they tell us in there. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Choose joy as an act of the will, as an act of the will. Sometimes joy is a decision. Psalms 118:24 reminds us that joy is in the day of the Lord, in the day of the Lord has made. Even on tough days, making a conscious choice to find one thing to be joyful about can make the difference. You know, even on those tough days, those days when you know, I'll use this as an example, is, you know, if you lost somebody this year, even on that day that it's a special day, right? It's their birthday, it's an anniversary, it's Christmas, right? Even on those special days when you know it hurts and those days are going to hurt, spend extra time with God. Spend extra time with God on those days and make a conscious choice to find that one thing throughout that day to be joyful about. Choosing daily joy is about practicing gratitude, focusing on God's presence, trusting Him with what we cannot control, and making that intentional choice each and every day. So renewing the mind for a hope-filled year. So how do we renew our minds for that? Romans 12:2 tells us, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What you dwell on will shape how you live. You know, like I just said a little bit ago, right? What we put in our minds, what we put in our hearts, what we hide in our hearts sometimes, that will shape how we live. That will shape who we are. That'll shape our relationship with our Lord. It'll shape our relationship with those around us. It'll shape our relationship with everything that we do. Philippians 4:8 tells us, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue to it, there is anything praiseworthy. If there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Hope grows where truth is planted. So plant truth and let the hope grow. So God's promises to walk with us. Okay, Deuteronomy 31:8 tells us, "And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you." Right, we talked about this earlier. "He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." Okay, you are not stepping into the new world alone. We are not stepping into this new world, the new year alone. Right? We're not going in there alone. If we've got Christ in our heart, if we know and we have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going alone. Right? He's going before us, and He's making a way for us as we go into it. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Thank the Lord for that. John, you want to come on up? So, steps moving forward in hope for this next year. Let us remember that hope is not pretending that everything's going to be easy. Because for many of us, you know, it's not going to be easy. This next year is going to be full of challenges. I can tell you for us as a body, as a church, this next year is not going to be easy for us. You know, we've got dreams. We've got a lot of plans and ambitions that we've prayed and prayed and prayed about and feel like God's telling us that we need a new church out here, that we need to build this church, and that's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy for the church. It's not going to be easy for anybody in this room. It's going to be a lot of hard work. It's going to be a lot of sacrifice. But hope is trusting God when those things are difficult. Right? Hope is knowing that those things are difficult. Hope is knowing that those situations in our lives are hard. Hope is knowing that we wake up every day with a hole in our stomach from something that we've lost in our lives, for somebody that we've lost in our lives, but still knowing that God is in control, and that giving blessings for everything that's still going on through this loss. Happiness may come and go, but joy rooted in Christ remains. Psalms 118:24 again. It's such a good one. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Okay, this year is not empty. This year to come is held by God. Our Lord is already there. He is already making a way for us. Trust in Him. Trust that the plans that He has for us, they may not be our plans. We may not necessarily even always like the plans that God has for us, but they are the plans that He has for us, and we're going to walk in those plans, and we're going to rejoice in those. So Father God, as we step into the new year, Lord, we place our hope in You. Heal what is broken in us, Lord. Heal what is broken around us. Restore what is lost. Strengthen what is weak in us. Teach us to walk in joy that does not fade, and hope that does not fail. Lord God, we trust in You. We trust in the future that You have in store for us, Lord. Lord, be with us this week, Lord, as we finish up 2025, Lord, and as we prepare ourselves for this next year, Lord. Just be with us and guide us, Lord. Give us those opportunities, Lord. Give us opportunities throughout this week to be able to do these things that we talked about, Lord, to be able to set aside time, Lord, when we feel the pressures coming in on us, Lord, to be able to close in and focus on You, Lord, even for small moments throughout the day or big moments throughout the day, whichever it is that we need, Lord. Guide us, teach us, show us the way, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. So please don't forget, this week, don't forget this week. So Wednesday night is New Year's Eve. So if you don't already have New Year's Eve plans, and even if you do, it doesn't matter, get rid of them. We'll be here at 6:00 Wednesday. We're going to have, we always have a video. I don't know if Lindsay's doing the video this year or who's doing it, but we got a good video that's going to show a lot of what happened in 2025 for the church, because we had a lot of good stuff that did happen this year. We're going to do a lot of praying. We're going to do a lot of getting ready for 2026 as a church. So if you've got nothing going on that evening, please come and join us. It won't be a regular service, but it'll be Holy Spirit filled. I promise you that. So have a good week. We'll see you guys on Wednesday. And be safe.